and welcome to episode 2 of The Tangles, official companion podcast to BeneathTheTangles.com. I'm your host, JP, known affectionately, or not, online as Japes in Japesland. As you may know, if you've been following our blog and podcast, every month of The Tangles, we like to feature a different staff member of Beneath the Tangles. With that said, I'm very excited to have co-hosting with me today our very own writer, Kaze.
Hi, everyone.
Now, one of our goals here, both at BeneathTheTangles.com and, by extension, The Tangles Podcast, is to encourage the interaction of all kinds of people, particularly within, though not limited to, those within the online otaku community and blogosphere. This means that we will be making a point of featuring different guests here on The Tangles every month in order to facilitate that goal. Last month, we featured esteemed otaku journalist Lauren Orsini, who I hope you were able to hear and check out. And this month, I'm sure I speak for the entire Beneath the Tangles staff when I say I'm very happy to have with us Annie Blogger and close friend to Beneath the Tangles, Annalyn of annalynspot.blogspot.com.
Hello.
Thanks, Annalyn. Now, Kaze, today's co-host, has been an integral part of Beneath the Tangles as a writer and staff member, even predating me, although that's not saying a whole lot, I suppose. He offers a lot of interesting insight in our rather diverse group in both his interests and his approach to writing, which I know I've come to greatly appreciate. So, Kaze, would you care to share just a bit about yourself for our listeners?
Sure. As you know, I'm Kaze, which is intended for the Japanese word for wind. My internet name has changed a lot over the years, but now most everyone knows me by Kaze. So I've stuck to that. As Jape said, I am a writer beneath the Tangles. It's been about 1.5 years since I joined, although I am the second to last person to join, so I am not predating Japes by a whole lot. although before I joined, I was already interested in doing something like connecting Christianity and anime with writing. So I'm really glad I ended up as a part of this. I would like to emphasize that while I am Christian, I do not affiliate myself with any specific denomination. I don't like the idea of splitting ourselves into all the different denominations for specific different beliefs. That aside, in my free time, I would, as you would expect, watch anime, read manga and visual novels, sometimes play games, and of course write blog posts. I actually have a personal blog outside of Beneath the Tangles, which consists largely of posts about Nana Mizuki, who I am a huge fan of and absolutely love her. If you didn't know already, you can visit my blog and read all about her. As for real life, I am currently living the anime life by studying at the Tokyo University, and I am researching a novel method for inducing cell death signaling for the purpose of screening for protein-protein interaction inhibition. How many people even understood that? I don't know.
I can't say I am one of those.
Some word protein. I know protein.
Excellent. Well, I think that's about all for me.
Okay. Thanks, Kaze. At this point, I'd like to extend the same question to you, Annalyn.
Well, I'm in my third year of college studying English creative writing, so I like to write, and I've dabbled in editing. I get excited about things like typewriters and old books, even though I didn't particularly like classical books until I actually got to college. I started watching anime about 5 years ago now, which has taken up time that used to be for reading. Yeah, I still need to find that balance there. That's the nice thing about being an English major. You're forced to read, so that helps. But yeah, I started blogging in 2008 at the suggestion of a friend who actually doesn't blog anymore. But that was before I discovered anime. So my blog's purpose took a big turn later on in 2011 when I started anablogging. And even that was after I watched anime for a couple of years. But it's been really fun. That's my main hobby now is Anna blogging or Annie blogging and Twitter and all that. And watching anime, of course.
Oh, that's cool. I actually didn't realize some of that. You predate both Kaze and me by quite a while, at least in the blogosphere, I suppose.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
She's been a friend of Beneath the Tangles for much longer than we have.
Yeah. That is definitely true.
Charles actually definitely spurred me on with my writing. It was very encouraging when I first started blogging about anime. So
that is something he is very good at. I'm sure for our listeners, if you listen to episode 1, he is quite the encourager. Now, seeing as The Tangles is a podcast devoted to exploring Christian spirituality as well as otaku culture, would you be able to share with us for a few minutes some of your personal religious beliefs?
Sure. Okay. I became a Christian from a very young age. Jesus has always been a part of my life. He's family. That's the best way I can describe it. I can't remember a moment when I didn't know, really know that Jesus is God, that he became one of us, died, and rose again. And so that's an essential part of my life. But, of course, I take him for granted sometimes, just like all family. And sometimes it feels like I'm apologizing for the same thing 1,000 times in a row. But I know he won't reject my apology and that he's patient and help me do better. So every year I have a deeper understanding of God's love, grace, and even his downright frightening power. So, yeah, that's... Faith has been a big deal for me forever, so...
That's very cool. And I'm sure... It's a conversation for another day, but I would have plenty of questions to ask you. I think there are a lot of parallels between some of what I've experienced and perhaps what you have. However, to be moving on in the interest of time, we're going to move on to our updates and announcements segment. Since Beneath the Tangles is always expanding and moving forward, today we actually have 3 major announcements to give you, the first of which I have the pleasure of announcing. As of the official upload date of this episode, which will be the last Thursday of this month, September, we will be publishing a new reference page on Beneath the Tangles called the Otaku Dictionary. This page is meant to serve as a reference to readers who are either new to the anime community or those who maybe have just missed some otaku culture term out there and simply want clarification without resorting to a site like Urban Dictionary. Having Annalyn with us this episode makes this announcement even more significant because this page would definitely not exist if it weren't for Annalyn's blog and her very own otaku glossary, which helped to both inspire and model our very own page, as well as some of her help in editing the page as it is. So thank you a lot for that, Annalyn. It is and will most likely always be a work in progress, so be sure to comment or email us with recommendations for revised definitions or terms that should be added. Our second announcement is that last weekend, Saturday evening, September 20th, Kaze hosted our very first live stream event, and that was a very cool experience. Would you care to share with our listeners just a little bit about what it was and what it means for the Beneath the Tangles community?
Yeah. So, as with this podcast, we at Beneath the Tangles want to engage our readers in as many ways as possible. As such, we will now have a semi-regular live stream events where you can interact and chat with us in real time as we host a special event. So last week we had the live stream, which was a combination of a summer anime season review and a fall anime season preview. But future events will not be limited to only such topics, so please look forward to different types of events that we'll have. It was a pretty fun event. It went on for 2 hours. A little longer than expected, but it was quite a fun experience, and I hope you tune in for future events. Unfortunately, it's not going to have a pre-planned schedule, so you'll just have to wait for our announcements as we plan them. And furthermore, even if you do miss the stream, we do have the videos on demand for viewing on the Ustream channel, and in the future we plan to upload them to YouTube as well. So don't worry about missing every live stream event. And our final announcement is we also have the creation of our core values and beliefs page. This is just a simple page outlining what we at Beneath the Tangles believe in regards to both Christianity and anime. While this is aimed mostly at those unfamiliar with us as a group, feel free to check it out just to confirm we actually do believe what you think we do, and maybe you'll learn something new. And now it's time for Otaku Diet.
Otaku Diet.
While video game podcasts have a what we're playing section and anime podcasts have a what we're watching section, since Beneath the Tangles covers more than just one medium and the Tangles reflects that diversity, we decided to name this section Otaku Diet, in order to include all types of otaku media, like anime, light novels, video games, manga, visual novels, and anything else applicable, really. With that said, Annalyn, would you mind sharing what's been in your otaku diet recently?
Well, I've been able to follow a few animes, and my anime diet tends to be split into two. It's sports anime and everything else. So, yeah, I've obviously been following Baby Steps, Haikyuu, and Diet Noise pretty closely. I just watched the last episodes of Baby Steps and Haikyuu, so that was a sad goodbye. But then I'm following Hunter x Hunter, which has one more episode, so another sad goodbye coming up. And let's see. Oh, then this semester, I can tell where my thoughts have been lately. I decided to try Sword Art Online again and watch the latest season, which was enjoyable for a while, and now it's still enjoyable if I ignore all the if I ignore other comments about it and try to think positive. Yeah.
It has interesting camera angles at times.
We could talk about that for ages, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. If you tuned in to the live stream, which would be last Saturday as of upload date, you will get to find out Kaze and my opinion of Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
However, moving on, Annalyn, this is your time in the spotlight.
Thank you. The one other one that really comes to mind is Monthly... Let's see. Well, I just broke down Nozaki-kun, so, like, Monthly Girls...
Ozaki-kun.
Yes. I didn't finish it. Was the last episode today?
Yes, I haven't watched the last episode either.
Right. Well, that was fun. I needed that fun anime. I've been missing some of the old comedies, so it was good.
It's a great comedy.
Yeah. Not the best, but good.
I feel very left out, because I have no idea what you're talking about. That's fine. In that case, Kaze.
Yeah, well, I watch a lot of anime, and since we just had the stream event, I guess I'll skip over my anime viewing, since my otaku diet tends to be very large and diverse. So, anime aside, I actually just marathoned the entirety of the Claymore manga, because the final chapter is being released next week.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so I decided to finally get around to that. It was pretty good, peaked around the halfway mark, and then kind of just started going downhill after that, but we'll see how the final chapter goes, but I don't see it being redeeming of the second half at all. I'm also currently reading the visual novel Suriyoto, which is short for Tsuki ni Yoriso Otome no Saho, which actually does not have English translations. So yes, I do read visual novels in Japanese, but my Japanese is actually not that great. I just read them for the sake of slowly learning kanji, and it's quite fun because I'm reading something that I actually want to read, as opposed to just staring at magical Japanese shapes. So yes, I'm actually enjoying that quite a lot. Part of the reason I'm going through that as fast as possible is the sequel is actually being released next month, so I get another visual novel to read in Japanese. I also play Concrete every single day, if this counts as otaku diet.
I think it definitely does.
Most popular game in Japan right now. Very, very addicting.
And if it weren't for their IP restrictions, I'm sure I'd be joining you.
And I also just recently started listening to Triangle Harmony, which is a seiyuu radio show that I'm sure no one else listens to. Amamiya Sora is a fairly new voice actress, probably best known for The Princess and Altanoa. Or she also did Fujimiya from One Week Friends. So, yeah, she's very new. She only just started getting main roles this year. So I like her voice. She has talent. But I think I'm starting to bore people with things that no one else does or is interested in. So how about you, Japes?
Well, I know it's cool hearing from you because, well, the very reason that you said bores people, you always get to tell me about things that I don't know, partly because you know Japanese and you're in Japan, and you just know a lot more than I do. Well, I'm going to do the same thing you did and essentially skip over anime because we just had the live stream, and I also watch a lot. Not quite as much as you, but it's beyond the marks of being able to explain in a reasonable amount of time. Right now, my favorite this season is probably Blue Spring Ride, or Aohara Idol, followed possibly by Zankyo no Terror, although that is going to be ending this coming week, and I have no idea how it's going to possibly conclude everything without a black hole. And that is that is a reference to the live stream as well. So if you haven't listened to the live stream, you need to do that. You're going to miss all these inside jokes. I am very excited for next season. Again, we talked about that. Mushishi and Unlimited Blade Works will be happening, which actually transitions into the main thing I've been consuming the last month, which is Fate Stay Night Real Tanua. If you are not familiar, Fate Stay Night is a huge visual novel, hugely popular anyway, with many, many spin-offs in anime, video games, just about everything. The original Fate Stay Night is also R18. However, they released a version of it called Real Tanua, which actually removes all of the 18 plus scenes. So I've been reading that, and it is a monster. It's about 900,000 words, I believe, which is relatively close to the length of the Bible, if I understand correctly. Still wow. Not close to, not even that close to Clannad, which is significantly beyond that, but it's still a very long read. Unlimited Blade Works is actually the second route of three, which is what Ufotable will be turning into their new anime next season, and I am very excited for that, although I have reservations because there are some things that I'm frustrated with in the series. Despite those frustrations, I'm still a fan, and I suppose that's saying something for the writer. Besides that, because reading that has honestly taken quite a majority of my free time the last month, I have been recently getting into the doujin game scene. Doujin games in Japan, it's essentially their equivalent of the indie game scene, mostly fan games. If you've ever heard of Toho, which is the bullet hell shooter, with ridiculous popularity and ridiculous difficulty levels, games along those lines. Speaking of Toho, I have been trying it, and I absolutely suck at it. It's so difficult. But it's still fun.
You also have played Grief Syndrome, which I recommended to you, right?
Yes, that is true. You are the reason for that. Yes, Grief Syndrome is a doujin game based on Madoka Magica. And it really only takes about half an hour to beat or so, and it's three-player multiplayer, which is fun. And it's just a side-scrolling beat-em-up, but it is quite a lot of fun, especially with three people. You get to play as all your favorite characters and button mash, but again, I think I'm starting to feel like Kaze and I'm talking about things that people don't really care about. So we're going to move on. So that brings us to the next section of today's episode, where we focus a discussion on a recent article on either beneaththetangles.com or our guest's website or blog. This month, we'll be spending a bit of time on one of Annalyn's summer articles entitled An Introvert's Guide to Boundaries and Friendship Behavior. Would you care to give a brief synopsis of the theme of your article, Annalyn?
Sure. Well, I watched Kawaii Complex this summer, which, despite its faults, I really enjoyed because it does a fantastic job of portraying introversion. I mean, every introvert is, of course, different because we're all different people. But I really liked how they showed some of the difference between being alone and loneliness. The main character really enjoyed just being alone to read. At the same time, you could kind of tell that she did want people to reach out to her. And I appreciate how that was shown, too, with Usa. So I guess Usa is really the main character, but I just think of Ritsu as the main character because I really identify with her. And, of course, the world revolves around anyone I identify with. But I really liked how Usa, who's an extrovert, was able to reach out to Ritsu without really stepping on her toes too much, and I felt that was portrayed well, as well as just how to go about friendship, because introverts, sometimes we have the idea, or at least I had the idea that, okay, since I'm so refreshed alone with my books and my anime, I don't need friends. But sure, we do. And then when it's time to make a friend, we might not know how to go about it. And so that was another thing I really appreciated about Kawaii Complex, and that inspired this article, was just about quietly or beginning to take initiative and not being scared, because friendship is possible, and at the same time setting boundaries. So,
well, I think we actually have an excellent chemistry here, the three of us, for an article of this topic.
Yes.
I mean, one side of that is based on our season review, spring season review, sorry, and Beneath the Tangles, which Kaze and I co-wrote. We actually, neither of us hated Kawaii Complex, which we seemed to hate most of the rest of the anime that aired that season. again, I would pretty much copy what you said. It had some flaws, but despite those flaws, I still enjoyed watching it every week. And I definitely identified with some of the characters as well.
Well, as you said, I didn't hate it, which is already impressive for an anime for me. I actually remember reading Annalyn's post whenever she did get around to writing that. And I enjoyed it a lot because I am a very introverted person. So I really liked a lot of the things she pointed out, and I definitely agreed with any of the things, which might have made me appreciate the show even more.
Yeah, and I'm definitely in the same boat there. One thing that is always something that I'm reminded of by people whenever I mention that I'm an introvert is that there's kind of this misconception about introversion that you are not good at social activity. Many, many introverts are actually, like, they're kind of in disguise. Like, you wouldn't realize from your interactions with them that they are actually an introvert because they are very good socially. Not always, but quite often. But that's not where they get their energy. So you have people like Annalyn or myself or Kaze, I assume, where we can operate socially when it's a necessity, but that's not where we get our energy. We really refuel whenever we're alone in the room, reading a book, watching anime, blogging, et cetera, et cetera. And so it really hits me. I mean, your article and being able to kind of connect with both the two of you as well as some of the characters in this show. It's just it's a really cool feeling whenever you are able to make those sorts of connections. I know I'm able to agree, well, maybe not agree, empathize with you when you wrote a bit about kind of your dorm life and some of the struggles you went through, as I'm currently living dorm life. I'm here at Liberty University on scholarship, which covers dorms. So if I wanted to move off campus, I'm pretty much stuck in the dorms for 4 years. I mean, I just blessing, I suppose, blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
It's definitely forced me to be among many more people than I normally would have chosen, I suppose. I know my transition from high school to college was kind of a rough one. I was extremely ready to get out of the house. And my high school senior year, I was probably the most introverted of my introvert days. Because of just the nature of the classes I took that year, I was home alone a lot during the school day and then taking college classes afterwards and then doing an internship. So I was in the car alone, at the house alone, at the church alone, quite a lot. And then I moved to school, and Liberty does not have two-person rooms in their main campus dorms, or at least not when I moved here. They were three-person dorms.
Oh,
wow. And then you had 70-guy halls. So regardless of what I wanted, I was stuck around a lot of guys who really did not care about anything that I liked.
Wow. Yeah. I remember, you know, back in the many years ago when I was in the dorm, I was lucky enough to have a single room, but it would open up into a common area, in which there were a total of like nine people living in like a suite. So I did have a single room, but like it was as soon as I walk out, there will be eight other guys in very close proximity. So even that for me was a lot more draining than I would have liked. And there would be times where I would just go into my single room and just lock the door to be alone. So I'm glad I ended up with a single rather than living with three people. That sounds quite terrible from an introvert's point of view, at least.
Well, my first semester, I started out in a room that was meant for two people, but there were a total of three of us. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. Very interesting. Then the next semester, both my roommates moved out, so I had the place to myself, which mentally was a whole lot better. I did not have nearly as many breakdowns, and it was a wonderful situation. I missed my roommates to some extent, but it was a wonderful situation. I noticed I felt better, and yet still, it wasn't as good as being off campus ended up being for me. I figured out as soon as I was eligible to move off campus, I did, because it was just better for me all around. But I'm very thankful for the time in the dorm, because I was alone a lot senior year. Then I took a year off from school, so I was really alone, not around anyone my own age, hardly ever. So it was really good for me to learn about friendship in that dorm situation. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's that's a good comment, and leads to actually what I was hoping to say. I do have several friends that live off campus, and it works very well for them. And I know there have definitely been moments when I've been like, I really wish I could just move off and I wouldn't have my own apartment, but at least I'd be able to pick who I want to live with more specifically. I wouldn't be stuck here on campus in a hall of 70 guys all the time. But the last couple years of living on my hall has been an enormous, enormous growing experience. I'm sure you can agree, Annalyn. Well, you already have. I remember you mentioning some with your roommate that really shared almost no interest with you, but ended up becoming basically one of your best friends at the time, correct?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I could make the statement that some of my roommates have become my best friends, but I have definitely made many, many more friends than I ever would have was I not living in a dorm situation. The last 2 years, I've roomed with four different guys who shared almost absolutely nothing in common with me. I could probably count on one hand the number of topics we actually shared an interest in. But we got along really well. Our personalities really meshed somehow. I had one roommate who went to the gym like every day and worked out all the time. I had a roommate that basically hung out with his girlfriend all day and then came back and played Call of Duty. I had a roommate who was a med student, basically studied all the time, and I had a roommate who was in a band, and he only showed up when he wasn't practicing guitar. But it was a really fun 2 years, and this year has been another interesting experience. I'm basically a roommate of four different rooms because I spend so much time in so many different places, and that is something that I never would have imagined myself doing if I wasn't put in these situations.
And I actually have a funny story. It wasn't a roommate, but we were living in the same apartment. And, you know, one day he's just like, wakes up late. I was like, what were you doing last night? He's like, oh, I was watching a movie. And at this time, we already knew we were both into anime, although it was still at that level where it's like, well, how much anime, you know? But you don't really want to ask the question of that specifically. So you kind of always like fish for information. It's like, oh, well, I watched Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works movie. And I was like, wait, I watched that yesterday. So we had both watched the same movie within 12 hours of each other, unknowingly. So, yeah, he's ended up being one of my closest friends as well.
That's a very cool experience when that happens. I can't say I've had the same thing happen, but I've definitely been slowly finding the people who I get along with better and whose interests I share. It's been a while now since Kawaii Complex has aired, but I definitely remember really liking how they portrayed introversion. It was, I don't know if I want to say a more realistic, but maybe a more refreshing take on it. I know I get frustrated a lot of times when it seems like an anime has the introverted character, usually the girl, who it's like the entire story arc revolved around that character, is somehow the solution to her introversion is to turn her into an extrovert. It's like there's something wrong with being an introvert, which there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I think Y Complex approached that a little bit better. A little bit more realism, I think. I think I can say that.
Yeah, it ended up being more about how to make friends with an introvert and accept them for who they are, as opposed to fixing their so-called problem.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely. I did mark down a couple quotes that Annalyn wrote in the blog post that I really jived with. And I'll just read them out here. There are three of them. One of them is, these are things that she kind of wrote down as things that she had said when she was going through these social issues. The first one is, "None of these other girls here need friendship like I do. They already have good friends, so they don't need me. I'd just take their time and energy unnecessarily, and they'd share their hearts with the friends they already have." The second quote is, "We all graduate and go to different colleges in less than a year anyway. That's not enough time to make a good, lasting friendship." And the third is, "I don't have the energy to make friends, and I don't know how to anyway. Putting myself out there anymore will just worsen my anxiety." So you essentially have the themes of the first one being, other people don't need you and you'd be a burden on them. The second one being, we're going to know each other for such a short time, why should I put the investment in it? And the third one being, I'm not good at this. If I try hard, I'm just going to be hurt. And I have definitely felt all three of those things. And I think all three of those problems pretty much sum up the problems that introverts have in making friends.
Yeah, I'd like to add one more quote.
Oh, okay.
Annalyn had a screen cap which had the words, "I don't think I'll ever find someone on the same wavelength as me," which might not apply to introverts, but I think it applies well to otaku anime fans, and especially Christian anime fans. I know I've definitely felt on multiple occasions that, well, I'm a Christian and I like anime, but finding people who are both is pretty hard, I think.
It's true. Maybe I should tag on there. A lot of times what you run into is you have someone like Kaze or myself or Annalyn who is a Christian, a devoted Christian, but is also a very devoted otaku. Someone who knows a lot about the industry. Not how the industry works, although Kaze definitely does. but at least consumes a lot. And I know, at least my experience, especially being on a Christian campus here, is I meet a lot of people who really like anime, but it's more of a casual interest. So when we start talking about it, then I hear what they like, and I realize that the drive isn't really the same. So although we like some of the same things, that wavelength, if you want to use that word again, is not the same at all.
Exactly.
So it just kind of compounds the issue entirely. And especially in the context of Christianity, like you mentioned, because you have a lot of Christians who are very skeptical of anime's content for some good reason, I would say. You also have the argument that everything has some questionable content in it. It's just anime is a little bit easier to find. But because of that, you kind of scare a lot of them away, and then they never end up actually learning what it is you like or why you like it. And whenever you're trying to talk with someone, there was an article I wrote a while ago about kind of evangelizing through your passion. I don't remember what the title was, but I remember Kaze and I had a conversation about that, where if you're talking with someone, it's pretty obvious whether or not you're actually passionate about the same thing. And so you have people who do, this is going to be a small tangent, but people who do like missions work, where they try to learn just a little bit about what the person they're talking to really enjoys. But that person, if they're really as passionate about it as we might assume they are, they'll pick up on it quickly that you don't actually care as much as they do. And so finding people on that same wavelength is difficult.
I found that definitely on my campus. I don't find so many people who are, I'm on a Christian campus as well, so I don't find so many people who have actually said, whoa, anime, are you sure? As much maybe run across someone who's a Sailor Moon fan. It's like, yay, anime. Oh, you're just Sailor Moon from your childhood. Okay. I haven't actually watched that yet. I'll get around to it. So that's what I've encountered here, but it hasn't been as hard for me on campus. It hasn't impacted how I see possible friendships as much in college as it did in high school. So
yeah, I think there's a definite trend now that anime is gaining a larger foothold here in the West, towards it being coming more of a mainstream interest, kind of like Doctor Who, or it's just kind of entering that nerddom, the kind of hipster area. I don't know what you call it, that nebulous world where all the socks go that you miss.
I think the legal anime streaming via not just Crunchyroll, but the more like mainstream ones like Netflix has definitely really helped that as well.
Attack on Titan, for all its flaws, Attack on Titan has actually, I think, well, I should extend that to Sword Art Online as well. I am consistently amazed by the sheer just amount of people that have seen Sword Art Online and Attack on Titan. Like random people on my dorm who have never had any interest in anime at all will say, that, yeah, I don't really watch anime, but I've seen Sword Art Online or Attack on Titan or whatever. And I think that is kind of increasing the amount of sympathy that Christians have for anime fans, something that we haven't seen before. So you get someone like really old, like Charles, who may have had a slightly different experience. But I mean, I've had some negative reactions to my anime interests, especially my freshman year, which is when I went through some of the most difficult times. But I mean, all in all, compared to at least some of the stories I've heard from other people, they've been pretty tame. And I think maybe that is one good thing that we're seeing in the Christian community here in the West. So, again, if you'd like to read what Annalyn had to say in her article originally, check out An Introvert's Guide to Boundaries and Friendship Behavior at her blog, annalynspot.blogspot.com. That's annalynspot.blogspot.com. Now, before we close for the month, it's time for listener mail. Listener mail. Okay, so this month we have a number of questions here, so we'll just jump right in. Question one we have is from Warriors at the Disco at warriorsatthedisco.tumblr.com, as well as Jade at myannycaps.tumblr.com. The question is, are you looking forward to any fall anime in particular? Well, I'll go ahead and just give my answer, and I'm going to point you back to our live stream again. But no, I will actually give a brief answer. We have coming up for the fall season the second half of the second season of Mushishi, which I am extremely excited for. If you read Kaze on my spring season review, that is the highest thing we rated, which we both gave a 9 out of 10, which is impressive.
And because it was also, we both hate anime, apparently. Yeah,
it was a full 2 points above whatever we rated next highest that season. Yes. I don't even remember what that was. It was probably a few things. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm also really looking forward to Unlimited Blade Works, which I already mentioned. Ufotable has a great track record with very, very well-done fight scenes, and Unlimited Blade Works is definitely going to have a lot of those. Or at least I hope. How about you, Kaze?
Same thing as you said, Unlimited Blade Works and Mushishi for same reasons. But one other show I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to, but I'm definitely very curious and how they're going to do this anime is Grisaya no Kaijutsu, which is the first visual novel of a trilogy of three, of which I have read the full trilogy. So I am very interested in how they'll go about doing that, although also very skeptical. also very skeptic about how they will animate that, but that's definitely the third top three unlimited weight works, Mishishi Grisaya. How about you, Annalyn?
Well, I don't actually pay very close attention to previews because I know I can't commit to watching too many, so I just kind of watch on Twitter and on Beneath the Tangles and other blogs and see what other people are enjoying. But I will be watching Yawapeta, the next season of Yawapeta and of Log Horizon. So those are definitely there, and I'll be mourning Hunter X Hunter and looking at other anime possibilities.
I'm sure I'd be much more excited about season two of Log Horizon if I had actually gotten around to watching season one.
It took me a while to get around to watching the first season, actually, and it didn't grab me as much. I enjoyed it, but it didn't get me too excited most of the time. So it's not like I'm really excited for it, but I'll enjoy it, I'm sure.
All right, let's take just a quick one-minute rabbit trail here, because this is an answer I've been kind of wanting for a while, and maybe there are some other listeners out there as well. What exactly is Log Horizon?
Okay, well, the initial premise is pretty much exactly the same as Sword Art Online. You have a bunch of players that get trapped in a video game, basically. So I think a lot of people were just expecting it to be a ripoff of Sword Art Online, but it ended up turning into what a lot of people wanted from Sword Art Online, which is it went into in depth into the actual mechanics of the game. It also had sort of political issues where players split up into different groups based on how they wanted to live their life. And it even brought in like the issue with the non-playable characters, because they're like, well, we're trapped in a game and we have to get along with the NPCs because they actually behaved very human-like, as opposed to what you would expect from a normal game is that, you know, they just repeat the same line over and over, right? Mm-hmm. But in Log Horizon, they would actually respond to the players the way humans would. So it's like, oh, we don't want to go with war with them, so we have to have like this political aspect of the game. And I won't spoil too much for you, but also it goes into a little bit hints at to how they got trapped in the game as well.
Oh.
Like it took, what I like is it kind of takes the fact that they're trapped and takes the story, the game's backstory, and it weaves them together in a really cool way. And I don't know completely how they're woven together yet. And so that, okay, talking about it makes me excited. I'm now excited. I changed my mindset earlier.
Well, thank you for that explanation. Maybe someday I will actually get around to watching season one, and then I'll be able to watch season two with you guys. All right, our next question is another combination, because we got two very similar ones. So these are combined from Kim at loveshoujocaps.tumblr.com and Jade at myannycaps.tumblr.com. What anime can you recommend for strengthening our faith and why? And then the second part of that was, what are some examples of anime with strong spiritual themes? Which is why I combined them. Well, I can go ahead and answer first again, if you guys are okay with that, I suppose.
Go ahead.
Well, the first thing I would say is you can check out our anime recommendations page on beneaththetangles.com. The way we have it laid out is, in addition to your kind of pros and cons list, we also have a biblical themes list, and then in addition to that, we also have content to look out for. On that list are two of my three recommendations as far as spiritual themes, which would be Now and Then, Here and There, which isn't directly spiritual as much as it has a lot of moral themes, like persisting in the face of adversity, hope in a homeless situation. I suppose it's a little hard to nail down exactly what is a spiritual anime, but it's definitely one of the most inspiring anime I've probably ever seen, and possibly one of the most underrated. It is probably one of the only anime I've rated a 9, and it's my anime list average rating is, I believe, less than a 7.5. Don't quote me on that. It's close to that, though. The second one is Haibane Renmei, which I've recommended to a lot of people. I've run a Bible study on it. Charles has run a Bible study on it. It has a lot of overt themes as far as redemption and a lot of prevalent symbolism. If you want to count the cherub wings and halos, I suppose you can count that too. although that's just a little bit more kawaii than symbolic. And then my third entry is, again, not exactly spiritual as much as it just makes you think. It's called Horo Musuko, or Wandering Son. Charles, I believe, has written some articles on this in Beneath the Tangles. And the reason that I would include that as something that strengthens your faith is it is the most intelligent representation of the LGBT community, I think, in anime, at least that I've ever seen. And
yeah, I agree.
Possibly ever made. I mean, again, I haven't seen everything, but I have a hard time thinking that something is out there that did a better job than that. And it covers homosexuality, transsexuality, cross-dressing, how people treat it, just different possibilities of like how to love people like that, why people do that. I mean, when I finished it, it's not very long. It's your standard half season length. I don't remember. It's between 11 and 13 episodes, something in there. But I just had like 2 days after I watched it, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I'm just like, man, like, why is it that we treat people the way we treat them? And it really made me think just about why I believed what I believed. And that's a very good thing, I would say. It made me question why people act the way they do. And I mean, it doesn't really come out and agree with necessarily what Christianity says about the LGBT community, but it provides you with a wonderful avenue of investigating it on your own. So those are my three mentions for that.
I can go next then. Haibane Renmei was definitely immediately thought of, as James already covered. I'd also like to note Noragami, which had excellent spiritual parallels. I believe Charles wrote a full series of posts on that, although I didn't think it was very good as an anime, but I did really appreciate spiritual connections. But the question about strengthening our faith, what instantly came to mind for me was Madoka, actually. Now, I know a lot of people draw parallels to, like, Jesus' sacrifice, redemption, etc. But personally, Madoka was a very strong parallel to faith for me. I know I wrote about this at one point in a post, how I compared the end of the series to my faith in God, and how I got this one response, how this person was like, oh, I read your post and, you know, I've been struggling with faith for a long time and I finally understand how faith works because of Madoka and your parallel. And that was actually the kind of a turning point for me where I was like, oh, maybe I should actually start doing Christianity and anime parallels. And you know, I honestly think that it was that point in time that I ended up being here at Beneath the Tingles. So I'm sure most people have already seen Madoka, but if you want something to strengthen your faith, I really recommend you go back and watch the final scene, the conversation between Homura and QB, and consider that as a conversation between someone of Christian faith and a non-believer, or even a believer who struggles with faith, and reconsider it from that perspective. I think that would be an excellent way to strengthen your faith.
Do you happen to remember what the title of that article was?
It was that really... It wasn't on Beneath the Tangles. It was that really long post I wrote on my personal blog.
Okay.
About just... ministering to otaku in general.
Oh, yes, yes. The one that we connected with my passion article, I believe.
Yes, yes, that one.
I'll make sure to include a URL, if you're listening, on our Beneath the Tangles page for this particular episode, in case you're interested in looking at that.
Although, the post was very long. I apologize in advance because it is incredibly long, a very long rant.
I think I might have read it because I remember reading something on your blog that was really long that I really related to and really liked. So,
yeah, I'll make sure to include that for our listeners in case they want to check it out. Annalyn, did you want to clue anyone in on your thoughts?
Well, this might be strange in this group, but I don't often look at anime in this light with this kind of question in mind about what, you know, about coming up with examples of anime that strengthen faith or have strong spiritual themes. I just kind of stumble across them. But the only specific types of anime that I can think of that actually have helped strengthen my walk with the Lord would be sports anime. Because anyone who's been a Christian for a very long time has often heard the terms that Paul used about running the race, eye on the crown before you and all that. And it's sometimes hard to relate to those as much, whereas we can really relate to the sports anime characters and how they persevere. So that'd just be blanket. Right now I've been thinking a lot about Baby Steps, just because of all the effort Achon has been putting in and kind of getting his body to submit to as well. And so I've been seeing some parallels between that and how we're supposed to not let our bodies get in the way of our walk with the Lord and our kind of master our desires. And so I see parallels there. Other than that, as far as spiritual themes go, well, Hunter x Hunter, of course, I'm going to bring that one up. I see some things there, but that takes a long time to go into. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not so much the show that presents the themes and strengthens the faith as much as how we watch them. Because from my perspective, we can see God and his truth in almost everything. So I'll look at, a sports anime and see the truth about how we need to persevere and all that. But I'll look at other anime, like even Kawaii Complex, and see truths about people who God has created and their needs and our need for friendship and the beauty of friendship. So that's my perspective on it.
Words of wisdom from Annalyn, only here at the Tangles. No, that was great. I think we have time to squeeze in question 3 here, although it is a large one. This is also from Kim at loveshoujocaps.tumblr.com. What is your all-time favorite anime, manga, and visual novel?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to keep mine relatively brief. There is absolutely no way on this earth I could tell you what my favorite anime is. If you really want to see what my favorites, plural, are, you can go to hummingbird.me and look up Japesland. That has my whole list there. I guess one of my first thoughts would be possibly I think it's an 80s movie called On the Wings of Honiamis by Gainax. Probably my favorite movie of all time. However, my opinions are always in a state of flux, so if you ask me this question next month, the answer will probably be different. Manga is an easy answer. I don't really read manga. I have a number of reasons. Maybe we'll go into that in another episode. The only real manga that I've read, or maybe I should say the only manga that I've really read much of, is The World God Only Knows, but I am several months behind on it. And the only reason I started reading it is because they weren't originally going to do a third season, and then they decided to do a third season anyway. And then visual novel, Rewrite by Key, hands down, also easy answer. It is just absolutely amazing. It does a lot of things that I've been wanting fiction to do for years. And it does it in something that can only be presented in the context of a visual novel. Kazay and I have talked several times about writing some sort of joint article, just kind of delving into it. The problem being the audience for it is very small, because first of all, you have to be basically an otaku. And then the subset of that is you have to like visual novels. And then the subset of that is you have to be willing to put in like 50 hours of reading because it is so long.
It would be, we've talked about this before, it would be pretty hard to write just an article on it because it's very complex, but at the same time, it's just absolutely amazing what it does.
Yes, definitely. Read, rewrite. If you ever get your hands on a copy, read it. All right, how about you, Kaze?
Well, yes, I have watched hundreds and hundreds of anime. For me to pick one is very difficult. If I were to base it solely on how many times I've rewatched it, then probably Mahou Shoujo Lyrical Nanoha Ace, which is the second season of a series of three, soon to be four, seasons and three movies. So that's one specifically I have rewatched a number of times. I've also rewatched the original Hunter x Hunter several times. This was back before they even rebooted the anime, but that was Hunter x Hunter is definitely one of my favorites. Manga, you know, even though I read a lot of manga, I don't actually end up liking a lot because they always go downhill at some point. So I'd have to go with a very common answer of One Piece. Although I would like to give an honorable mention to Bitter Virgin, which is a fairly short read, but it is a bit mature. It covers topics such as sexual assault and unwanted childbirth, but I think it did a great job depicting that in a serious and respectful manner. Visual novel, you know, Japes, we both love rewrites, and I loved rewrite, but I'm going to have to go with Mahou Sukai no Yoru. It is nowhere as impressive as rewrite as far as storytelling goes. But the reason I have to choose this is because I just enjoyed pretty much every aspect of it. There are parts of rewrite that were kind of boring, dragged out, mainly the routes. I mean, the true route was great, but there were some parts in rewrite I didn't like as much. But with Mahoyo, like, pretty much every scene, every main character, and the music was amazing, the art was beautiful. I just liked everything about that. So that's my favorite visual novel. And now I get to wait for the sequel, which will come out in about 15 years. How about you, Annalyn?
Well, it's actually easy for me to say my favorite anime. I have a standby answer, which is Gungrave. I love that show. Yeah, watched it three times now, I think. And I do see faults in it now. I don't particularly enjoy the women in the cast or their voices very much at all. But I so love the main character, Brandon, and his loyalty. And just watching the relationship, or how he really relates to Harry, his best friend, and watching all the characters develop and grow over I really like that show. So that's my standby answer to that question. I haven't really questioned it, and I don't plan to question it anytime soon, because I don't want to get to that place of indecisiveness. Manga, I don't read a lot of manga. So I have been reading Rurouni Kenshin. That was kind of what I was collecting there, because it was the only one I'd started collecting, and I refused to spend money trying to randomly start a bunch of collections of manga. But I never actually finished the last BizBig, three volumes in one, that I got, like, sixth one of those, I think. So I think that tells you about how much that has kept my attention. And I haven't really played or read any visual novels, really, other than some indie ones that are American-made, like
OELVNs.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's like Sake Visual is an American kind of independent group that has created some stuff, and I've played a few of their things, which I enjoyed, but yeah.
That's cool. I hope that answered your question sufficiently, Kim. And at that point, this pretty much wraps up this episode of The Tangles. So thank you so much for co-hosting this month's episode, Kaze, and thank you for your guest appearance, Annalyn. If you'd like to hear more of my terrible opinions, or likely want to hear more of Kaze or Annalyn's pretty awesome opinions, be sure to look up articles at beneaththetangles.com, written by Japesland, again, if you want terrible opinions, or Kaze, if you want awesome opinions, and check out Annalyn's blog, annalynspot.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next month for The Tangles.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this month's episode of The Tangles, official companion podcast to beneaththetangles.com. Be sure to check out our full site for more articles and analyses on the intersection of otaku culture and faith. If you would like to submit a question, send an email to thetangles@outlook.com. Also, be sure to follow our Twitter, @AnimeTangles, and like our Facebook page, Beneath the Tangles, and rate and review The Tangles on iTunes. Featured opening and closing songs are Japanese Dream by Duke Ellington's Orchestra and Blue Piano Stomp by Johnny Dodds, available in the public domain. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for The Tangles. All right, well, that's a wrap. I might include some bloopers at the end of me being stupid. So again, if you'd like to read what Annalyn had to say in her article originally, check out Lessons from... Oh, sorry. I will fix this. I need to. I did not replace that title there. Edit this out, JP. Please edit this out. Don't forget.
I thought about mentioning that to you, and then I was like, eh, we'll catch it.
Okay. Well, since I'm already editing this part out, let me go find the actual title. An Introvert's Guide to Boundaries and Friendship Behavior.
I used the title of the actual show, which I can't remember.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I noticed that. I didn't notice it until like 9:05 p.m. today.
Yeah.
But I did notice that.
I can't remember the entire title of the actual show, but...
Yeah, I don't either. Okay, let's try this again now. So, again, if you'd like to read what Annalyn had to say in her article originally, check out An Introvert's Guide to Boundaries and Friendship Behavior at her blog, annalynspot.blogspot. Let's try that a third time.
Yay, so, for editing.
Yes, it is nice.